Cape Talk.
Ask Dr. Josh.
I'm afraid we're coming very, very late to Dr. Josh this evening, which is an enormous shame. Dr. Josh, hello. I'm so sorry. We are late to you this evening.
No worries. We've been having the same discussion in the States.
Yeah.
So I've been a part of that discussion quite a bit this past week. So it was fascinating. It's important, and I think it. I just want to say I think it highlights that even sometimes with the best of intentions to the professor's comments, even if we think and we believe that we have the best of intentions, the nature of our implicit bias and the nature of just the upbringing that we've had sometimes doesn't afford us this an accurate perspective.
Yeah.
I'd rather see that and a willingness to try and understand empathetically or at the least from a content standpoint than to say, because I don't feel this way, therefore it is not true for you.
Absolutely.
That's never the right approach.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like we're going to continue. Would you be all right, Josh, if we maybe put aside in filling somebody's emotional needs and stuck with this? Because I think actually you could offer us some really good insights. Is that all right with you?
I will do my best.
Here. You are a star. And the reason that I ask you, because I'm fascinated behind the psychology, and I guess the psychiatry to an extent of the debates that happen when we talk about things that make us uncomfortable. And very often, particularly here in South Africa, that is race. It can be around, I mean, it can be anything within our relationships. It can be around money. It can be anything that makes us uncomfortable. And very often, when we talk about race, or when I talk about race on the show, there are, I can almost guarantee certain responses. And it's almost as if they are programmed responses. And the fact that I am engaging as somebody who knows who's talking on the radio, and it's talk radio, we want to engage before even an argument has been developed or a topic has been explored. There is this very, and the only way that I can describe it is defensive attitude of I need to put this out there. I need you to know that this is my standpoint. And that's that. And I was speaking to our technical producer, Mally, about this, is that so often we are so busy, and I'm sure that I'm guilty of this in other areas, but probably not around race, I would hope not, but in other areas of my life, I'm sure my friends and family would say so. We are so busy formulating our answer, or rather our defence to a point, that we completely miss what's actually being said.
I'm not laughing because I'm laughing because it is at the heart of every relationship argument, heated argument in any sort of relationship, particularly intimate ones. But yes, that is what we do. We're there. We may be there physically, but mentally we've sort of checked out of what that person's saying, or almost simultaneously, it's as words are coming out of their mouth, we are focused on how we're going to debate that based on our stance that was there before we started. So we don't go in with curiosity. We go in armored up. We go in with our biases. And what we're looking for is, how do I confirm those so that I can know that everything is okay? And you can do that. You can do that without yelling. That's the thing. That sounds very, you know, when you say defensive, it sounds agitated. Mm. But people can do it in a very calm way. And what it means is exactly what you just said, is we're not seeking to understand your story. We're simply seeking to formulate our story, which is a totally different thing. And the more uncomfortable the topic, the more we do that, because the more it gets at our deepest vulnerabilities. Mm. For example, those of us who believe we have no bias, we aren't racist. You hear this all the time. I'm not racist. I believe in my heart of heart that I'm not racist. Well, you can believe that, and you may never actively, intentionally engage in racist behavior. Again, hear what I say, intentionally. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you don't have biases that you've just acquired. But that makes people very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting as well, and I think it's there are so many similarities and yet also so many differences. Let's say between South Africa and the States, wherein when we talk about race in South Africa, in terms of or racism, we've come from such a terrible past where so mm-hmm. many atrocities and things that were abhorrent, or were considered okay. And were enshrined in legislation, you know, a whole system that when some of those things now no longer apply, in that it's actually not okay these days for people to scream racial expletives at mm-hmm. at people of colour, etc. Just taking away that one level, that very direct racism, where it's completely clear to anyone of sane mind that that is offensive. People seem to be grappling with, and we have this conversation in South Africa on a daily basis, and I think it's important. I know that people, it touches some people, they don't like it, but I think it's hugely important we continue to have these difficult conversations, that there is a whole iceberg of other behaviours, other modalities, other structures that continue to be problematic and racist. What do you think? Why do people not want to go into that? Go down and look at the iceberg. In any situation.
Because the obvious is easy. That's the issue. The obvious is easy. So. For me to say, you know, and I, again, I'll try to make it broader.
Yeah.
I called you a derogatory name, anti-Semitic, racist, whatever, in a relationship. Mm. I hit you. I physically harmed you. I swore at you. I broke something. You know, these kinds of more extreme, obvious, that now, culturally, are absolute no-nos. Right? You know, it's like you're going to be hard pressed to find anybody who thinks otherwise.
Yeah.
Those are easy. Those
exactly.
are easy because we can say, yep, you're right. Okay. Although I would tell you, even in the things that we have going on here in the States with the Me Too movement, you hear a lot of men saying, well, you know, back in the day, that used to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's happened? Well,
yeah.
Guess what? Back in the day, it was okay to say bad things. It was okay to say derogatory words about African Americans mm-hmm. and Jews and whatnot. Well, it's not back in the day.
Yeah.
Society evolves. And so my point is, those things are easy. But when you start getting down to things that we didn't know about ourselves, you know, by the way, Sarah Jane, did you know that when you do that, when you act that way, you're actually being very offensive.
Mm.
Well, your natural tendency is to say, "I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. I'm a no, Sarah Jane. You're anti-Semitic. You're racist by what you're doing. Well, that can't. Absolutely not. Of course not. Because I don't believe it. I don't think it. What you're saying is something is wrong with you. You're doing something wrong, and now we're pushing on people's vulnerabilities. That's why they don't want to go down any farther. Because it gets a lot more personal.
I was thinking about how to move it away from race, because I know that people are listening and saying, well, SJ, as a person of colour, you're probably thinking X, Y, and Z. Let's give an example of something completely different. I've got a few trans friends, and probably about 5 mm-hmm. years ago, one of them came to me and said, listen, you've been using terminology that is offensive. Now, in a million years, I would not have dreamt of being offensive intentionally. Would not have entered my mind that I would want to offend my friends or people within the trans community. Not for once. But rather than jump up and down and say, well, I'm not being offensive and I had to take a back seat, because I'm not a trans person. I don't have a wealth of knowledge about the trans community and the difficulties that have faced members of the trans community. Therefore, I've sort of taken it on advice from people who know better than I know what may or may not be considered to be offensive or inappropriate or problematic. And I took that on board, and I also read around the topic because, you know, the prof was saying, I'm in a position of privilege when it comes to access to information. And I realised, oh, right, OK, this is something I didn't know. I've used this opportunity to be educated. I didn't jump up and down and start saying, no, I'm telling you right now, trans person, that actually you have no right to be offended and you shouldn't be offended. I mean, that's just madness.
Well, but see, again, I think now, you know, semantics matter, because there's a difference between saying you are offensive, you are racist, you're hurting someone intentionally, versus saying what you've said, what you've expressed, the words that you've stated may have come from a good place.
Mm.
But those words and those phrases hurt me.
If Karen Housley had her way, all it would take is one accident or diagnosis to lose everything. Housley has sided with the insurance industry, voted against Medicaid, and supports denying coverage for pre-existing conditions. It's clear who she'd fight for in Washington, and it's not us.
Paid for by SMP, www.senatemajority.com, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Because you said that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with saying what you said is a racist term,
yes,
or a racist phrase.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make you the derogatory connotation of what is racist. And I
think
that's where people have a harder time, because they say, well, and it works the same with trans, I'm not trying to hurt this person, why are you jumping on me?
Yeah.
Wow, I never realized my words that I thought were okay are not okay.
Yeah.